Welcome to the porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. This is where we get back to basics, examining the Word of God, especially the book of Acts Church. The Porch Online Bible Study is here to consider how the early church served the Lord, and we want to do that too. Restoring the priesthood of the believer and the world-shaking influence the early church had. We do that by digging deeper into Scripture. We don't filter it. We don't water it down. And I believe that in doing so, we find the church the Lord intended and not the one that man-made tradition created. The church age is still in effect. The day of Pentecost continues. The fire still falls. The Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. Go to solomonsporch.org to contact us or to go to firefalltalkradio.com. You can do that as well. You can support us there. Go to the bottom of the main page, Firefall Talk Radio. There are ways to support us. We appreciate your support and encouragement. We also appreciate our regular blog talk, iTunes, and iHeartRadio listeners. Make sure you subscribe to the Spreaker app for Firefall Talk Radio. Get updates on broadcasts. Stay connected to our Facebook and Twitter accounts. As I said, we were changing the format so it'd be easier to distribute these podcasts over the various streaming services. Right now, we are on the main Firefall Talk Radio account. Make sure you bookmark that, and you'll be able to find us every week. You'll also find a new monthly edition of Reflections in the Dark, which will be posted this week. Open Doors Ministry posted this today on their Facebook page. Urgent prayer needed. We have reports of attacks on 5 farming villages in Nigeria's Plateau State, including the murders of Reverend Adamu Gyang Wurim, his wife, and 3 children who were burned alive when their house was set on fire in Abanang Village. In China, China has demolished hundreds of churches and confiscated Bibles during a crackdown on Christianity. Churches raided, demolished Bibles, and all religious paraphernalia like crosses have been confiscated as President Xi Jinping consolidates his power and begins to shrink the freedoms of Christians in his nation. Matter of fact, experts and activists say that Xi is waging the most severe, systematic suppression of Christianity in the country since religious freedom was written into the Chinese Constitution in 1982. I guess it's not worth the paper it's written on. So keep our brothers and sisters around the world in prayer. Starting out, praise, support, prayer request. Well, I praise the Lord for my home, for my wife, my family, our furry kids, our possessions, my grandson JJ, Jason James, his protection over us, the ministry he allows me to work, the recurring dreams and visions that he has given over the years and he's giving now almost every night. I praise him for his healing virtues and for revelation knowledge on how to take care of ourselves better. I just praise him because I can praise him and I want to. For being a new creation and living in these prophetic, exciting times. I praise him for America, for the signs that he's giving, that he's getting ready to return. And I keep all those things in prayer. I understand we have problems and there are issues, but our solutions are not in politics. They're not in money. They're not in Hollywood or media, any of those things. Our solution is in the return of the Prince of Peace. So I pray for Jerusalem and for the peace of Israel, which means I pray for the return of the Lord. I pray for the fatherless and the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice. And I pray for those in the womb and even the animals that God created and gave us stewardship over. It breaks my heart to see how we have mistreated his creation. I pray for divine wholeness, health, and healing in me, my wife, and all of you. You know, that crud we had for a while, it's all over the world. It's all over the United States. I see it on Facebook. It's very dangerous. Make sure you take care of yourself. Make sure you stay prayed up. Let's get back to our divine design. So right now, in the name of Yeshua, I pray for healing. and all that are sick. I pray for divine protection, inspiration. Once again, I'm crying out for the remnant to wake up, rise up, and answer the call to action, and the call to support his efforts. You know, if you've been blessed, then be a blessing. Open the conduits of his blessing and fund kingdom business. Stop putting your seed in bad ground. Nick in Dallas has a prayer request. Monday morning, his uncle Howell passed away after a very long fight with Parkinson's, and I know how debilitating that is because my grandfather had it for many years. His request is for Howell's wife and daughter, I guess his aunt and cousin, to be at peace, and for travel blessings for his parents as they go to California and back via the train. Stacy in Texas has asked for prayer. She says the doctor says the baby could be here tonight or tomorrow, so please pray for them. Kim in Fort Mitchell says they're getting over their cold, probably the same thing we've been talking about. Says everybody has it here, including the baby. She says, but we're alive and we're breathing, and she's grateful that God gave me this family to take care of, grateful for her salvation. 2 years sober, grateful for this community and for, she says, my pastor, Richard. Today I want to pray for people in bondage, however that might look like. I will never forget how it feels to know that something is killing me, but yet continue to do it over and over again. That's insanity. I'm praying for people in this struggle to surrender and accept help. I'm asking for prayers for my family, Porch families, for the financial struggle that she's in, for the child support case that she's filed for her son to be resolved in her favor, protection over the families and children that need these prayers every day. Says the enemy's after our children. Let's pray for healing and forgiveness, patience and compassion for the animals that get abused and abandoned. She asked for prayer for Stacy, who's closer to her due date, and asking that her Heavenly Father would save her mother and her husband's soul in Yeshua's name. Well, that about covers it right there. We're done. Have a good night. No, I'm serious. Really, that's what it's all about. That's what the porch is about. So, Father, we just come to you right now. We ask that you bless this time. You bless the word, bless the technology, protect each and every one of us. Keep the enemy from us. I pray a Psalm 91 covering upon each and every person represented in the porch families and those that are listening. I pray blessings in our life, Lord, so that we can be a blessing, that we won't hoard them, that we will flow them out to others. I thank you for what you did on the cross, and I thank you, Father, for asking Yeshua to do that for us. I pray right now that the power and the presence and the peace of the Holy Spirit would envelop us, that your glory would shine down upon us, that your angels would hover over us so that we can hide in the hidden places of your wings. Touch us, Lord, change us. We clear our minds right now. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Messiah, and we cast down every vain imagination that would exalt itself above the knowledge of El Elyon, God Most High, our Father. Holy Spirit, change our hearts, soften our hearts, heal our wounds, fill us with the fire, and let us go out into this dark world, shining the light and the glory of Yeshua. Lead people to the cross. Lead them into reconciliation and restoration. And Lord, I ask that the fire would fall upon each and everyone listening right now. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information and the matter presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or used without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So we're finishing up our look at the external war. We've been looking at the armor of God. We're going to finish that up too. So go with me to Ephesians 6. starting with verse 10. Let's establish where we are in the Word and pick it up from there. Open your Bibles, your apps, whatever you've got going on. And again, I encourage you to get a tangible, physical Bible so that if the power were to go out for any length of time, you'd still have access to the Word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Basically, you read that and you hear that and you should understand you're in a war. War's not coming, it's here. It started in the garden and picked up steam on Calvary, and then after the infilling of the upper room and the fire fell, it took on a life all of its own, and we were empowered. We are clad for war. We have covered all of the elements of the armor of God, defensive and offensive. Now the final application is prayer. The Amplified version of verse 18 is, pray at all times, on every occasion, excuse me, swallowed a word there, it'll come out later in the middle of a conversation. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, capital S, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Without prayer, all the armor of the world would be of no use. This armor, even once in place, must be applied, must be used, and part of the warfare is prayer, and praying always. That means general prayers, that means specific petitions in the spirits for all believers and all occasions. Perseverance and patience in prayer is essential to a warrior. Praying is not classed as a part of the armor, but it's an additional, very important part of the fight against the spiritual powers of darkness. What does that mean with all prayer? Well, that means in public, in private, in fellowship with other members, in family. It means in every place, in every way, for every reason. And when it says all kinds of places, be flexible to be used by the Holy Spirit without restrictions. Don't lock yourself in and don't lock Him out. You know, the big thing now is to have a prayer closet. I go into my war room and I have my prayer closet. Any of my dogs? See, they're praying right now. They're praising God. They know what we're doing. Anyway. The great thing about it is you should be able to pray everywhere at any time, whether you're at home, whether you're in the car, whether you're at the gym, whether you're in the shower. It doesn't matter where you are. If the Spirit hits you, you should be able to do it. You shouldn't be, well, you know, hold on, got to get in my room. You know, got to get my hidden place. No. I get what they were trying to do with that movie. I think for some reason we as humans, we're always looking for an external religiosity to confirm what we are and what we're doing. It's going to get to the point you better be able to pray covertly. You better be able to, under your breath, without even your lips moving, to get hot, and to pray, and to intercede, and to take down strongholds and principalities. Because the enemy doesn't like prayer. That word supplication, it means continued, strong, incessant pleadings until the prayer is answered. I remember when I first got saved, there was a teaching going through the church, and it circles back every now and then. Tell God what you need and just say it once. He's not deaf. You don't need to stutter. Just believe that it's done. It never felt right with me. And then as I was working on this study today, and I found multiple places, supplication, entreaty, pray without ceasing. It's not biblical, folks. Sometimes you have to war. Sometimes you have to fight. Sometimes you have to move the enemy out of the way. So don't stop. Keep pounding. Keep praying until the prayer is answered. But when you do it, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Pray it. Believe it. James tells you to believe what you're going to say. Don't be double-minded. 1 Timothy 2:1, therefore I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. You're praying for somebody's salvation? Keep praying. Keep pounding on heaven. Keep shining the light into the darkness. Keep sending it up until it happens. And the other thing, keep in mind, that which goes in the face of current teachings, not every petition is granted. Job demanded answers from God and instead got a dissertation from God about who he was and who Job wasn't. Ruth Bell Graham, Billy Graham's wife who was passed on and gone into paradise, said, God has not always answered my prayers. If he had, I would have married the wrong man several times. Keep pounding, keep praying. But see, if you're praying in the Spirit, and the Spirit's praying with you and helping you to pray, you're going to pray correctly. But if you're praying according to fleshly desires and selfish reasons, if you're trying to create an Ishmael in your life, he's going to try to keep you from doing that. He's going to try to keep you to his perfect will, Isaac. But sooner or later, he might just give you Ishmael. You don't want that. As believers in Yeshua under the new covenant, we should cherish the direct communication we have with our Heavenly Father more than the petitions we're making. But if you want to see an example of continuing to pray, go into the Garden of Gethsemane where Yeshua is at the point of death. He prays three times that the cup of suffering would pass him. But finally, nevertheless, he submits to the will of his Father. Matthew 26:38, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me, speaking to the disciples. And he went a little further and fell on his face and praying, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He does that three times. He does it again in verse 42 and then in verse 45. And the thing we need to understand about prayer, I found this quote from Oswald Chambers. Beware of placing the emphasis on what prayer costs us. It costs God everything to make it possible for us to pray. You know, when I spend my time with the Lord, when we have our casual conversations and sometimes from my little tantrums or my questions, I don't understand. I get that I'm on a need-to-know basis, but it would be nice if this is one of those times that I could know. And then there are times I'm petitioning him for maybe one of you or for someone else or for the visions and the dreams and Firefall and the porch and all those things. It's a nonstop. I've not kept an actual chart of how much I pray. I'd be better off keeping a chart of how much I don't pray, how much time I don't spend speaking to him. But even the Apostle Paul asked for three times for the deliverance of from the thorn in his flesh. And God's answer to Paul was, "My grace is sufficient for you." See, God's power was seen in Paul's weakness. He was using it, some believe, to hinder that seed of pride that was always present in Paul's life, all the way back to Saul. Maybe that's the case, but Paul didn't blame it on God. He said it was a messenger of Satan. I've told you about Smith Wigglesworth, a very powerful man of God. Signs and wonders and miracles, who in the middle of a sermon or prayer service would get hit with kidney stones so bad he would drop to the ground into a fetal position, and his wife would have to run up there and take over for him until the pain subsided. Just because God hasn't answered your prayer yet doesn't mean he won't. But if it's delayed, ask. Say, "Lord, is there anything hindering this? Is there something I'm supposed to learn in all of this?" But if you're going to pray, if you want to see your prayers answered, do it in faith. Not that you expect that he's going to do it at that moment, but that he's capable of doing it. Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." I've had the name it and claim it crowd tell me that all the time. "Just pray, believe it, it's yours, it's going to come." Yeah, okay. A little more to it than that, guys. Okay, well, send me $69.95. I'll send you this DVD set and it'll explain it all. Yeah, no. Pray. Pray with all your heart. Pray with faith. Pray in understanding. He may answer it now. He may answer it later. He may not answer it at all. He may give you something better. Like Ruth Graham said, she kept praying for her husband and prayed for the wrong man. God gave her the right one. We must not think that our Heavenly Father is a vending machine, that he will grant every wish and every desire because we put our spiritual coin in there. But we must always believe that he's capable of it. But what if maybe the hindrance is selfishness? Remember James 4, verses 2 and 3. "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have, because you do not ask. When you do ask and do not receive, because you ask incorrectly to spend it on your personal desires, your personal pleasures. Every prayer should be, 'Not my will, but your will be done.'" If many of the prayers I had prayed when I first got saved and got into ministry had been answered, not only would I not be here right now, I would have not grown spiritually to the point that I've grown. If every door I wanted open had opened and I had gone through them, I would have missed out on a lot. I would have missed out on revelation and time spent with him that only came from the struggle. That only came from being in the valley of despair and looking up towards him. The problem when you get on that mountaintop is the view gets too good and you take your eyes off of God. But your understanding of prayer will correspond to your understanding of God. When your Heavenly Father is seen as desiring to bless you and sovereignly free to respond to you and your prayers, then you'll see it as a dialogue with God as opposed to this external, distant communication. Matthew 6:7 also clarifies how we should pray. "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words." The Amplified version of that says, "And when you pray, do not heap up phrases, multiply words, repeating the same ones over and over, as the Gentiles do. For they think that they will be heard for their amount of speaking. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." It's not about the endless repetition. It's not about the ritualistic nature. A.W. Tozer said, "Even the most devout seem to think that they must storm heaven with loud outcries and mighty bellowings, or their prayers are of no avail." I've been around those people. They say Father God every five words. And they repeat the same things over and over, and they get louder and they get louder, and they get more emotional and they get more showy. And I just stand there and I watch them, and I don't say anything because I don't want to be hurtful. I don't want to embarrass them. But what I want to say is, what are you doing? You're doing the exact opposite of what we were told to do. That's why he gave us the Lord's Prayer as a model of simplicity, in contrast to the pagan wordiness that he was referring to, that we still see in the church today. Remember, Matthew 6:6, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Heavenly Father in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will open you reward openly. Will reward you openly. My brain went to a different point. This goes back to that whole war room, that whole, I got to get locked in my room. Now what that means is, don't make a show of it, because it goes on in Matthew 23:14 to talk about the scribes and the Pharisees. He calls them hypocrites. "For you devour widows' houses for a pretense, making long prayers. Therefore you will receive a greater condemnation." When he says go into your room, don't put on a show. It's not about you. It's not about how well you can pray. If your heart is right and you are in sincere conversation with your Father, He'll respond to you. And more prayer will lead to a greater communication with Him and a greater understanding of His will. Sometimes when you pray, you just have to be silent and wait. And listen. I've noticed so many people, they don't ever really listen. They just wait for you to stop speaking so they can say something. We can't do that with God. We can't do that with our Heavenly Father. And what are your motives for praying? We're told about the methods, but what are your motives? Why are you praying? But don't fall for the trap, folks. Don't fall for the ritualistic reciting of words. And the thing that came to me today as I was working on this is, when I was growing up, the concept of rosary beads. And each bead had a different prayer. And if you don't understand where rosary beads came from, especially if you are Roman Catholic, it's a string of beads. It's a prayer beads. It actually has no verification in the Bible. It goes actually back to the Middle East and to Oriental paganism and mysticism. And what they would do is they would pray the rosary and recite a specific prayer corresponding with a particular bead on the string. And it was usually the connecting of the Our Fathers and the Hail Marys. And they're very, you know, they don't know exactly when it began, but it began in the 3rd and 4th centuries. About the same time that they kicked the Holy Spirit out of the church and turned it into a government religion. So for 300 to 400 years before that, they didn't do that. There was no ritual. There was no man-made tradition. That's what this is. It has no biblical source or reference. If you're still doing those things, put it down. Put it down. If the Holy Spirit's in you, you don't need man-made traditions to get it right, because He does it. John 16:13, we've been talking about this. "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." He'll even help you pray. And if you don't know the words, or you can't get the words, it'll come in groanings, which cannot be uttered in a normal language. Where do I get that from? Romans 8, starting verse 26. "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good, for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. I mean, come on, it's fixed. It's fixed. He knows what you need. And if you're off in your prayers, the Holy Spirit takes over. There are times that I just let it go. I say, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do at this moment. Holy Spirit, help me. And then all of a sudden my thoughts will change and the words will change. And then sometimes my prayer language will take over. And I just feel like I've stuck my finger in a socket. Because our weakness that says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, it's a lack of understanding. We're trying to understand an infinite God with a finite mind. We're trying to see an aspect that may have 100 layers to it. It's like you want a marriage restored. Well, is that God's best? Richard, you didn't just say that, did you? Well, let me explain. Maybe you need to pray for that person to be saved first before the marriage is restored. Maybe the man or the woman you're getting back isn't what he wants for you. Maybe he wants a redeemed, delivered person for you. Say, Lord, how should I pray? My wife has shared this when she has shared her story, and I'll share it with you. When I walked out, when I did the things that I did, and she began to pray, and the Lord reconciled with her and restored the relationship of her childhood. He said to her, stop praying for your marriage and start praying for his soul. Because without my salvation, without my deliverance, I wasn't worth having. And my salvation was much more important than our marriage. But because of my salvation, He healed the marriage. What are you praying for and why are you praying? Well, Lord, I want to go preach. I want to get out there. Why? Because you want to be on stage? Because you want your name on something? Well, you know, I want to pay my bills that way. Okay, well, the Lord's your provider. Folks, I can tell you how real that is. I can tell you well-known people who, when I began to become more known, began to try to guide me into the profitability of certain things. Hey, brother, you got to publish or you're going to perish. You got to get out there. You got to promote yourself. Oh, you're not printing enough books. Print 2 to 3 times that amount. Well, had I printed the amount that I wanted, I'd be out of that first batch. But no, I listened to people who did not have their best for me in mind. I know better now. And I'm telling you, why do you want what you want? That's where you have to start with all prayer and all petition. Because all circumstances will work together in cooperation with God for your good. That means you are being conformed into the image of Messiah, so that when you reign with Him later, you are in harmony, you are in tune with Him. See, those who love God as their Father are called by God. And our loving response comes from the Holy Spirit. We are working in unity. It's a teamwork, called according to His purpose in everything, including redemption, to accomplish His plan. And that's where most people go wrong. It's His plan. It's not ours. See, the Holy Spirit will magnify and glorify the Lord and no one else. He'll edify us in the process. But if the process is magnifying and glorifying an individual or an organization, I know something's gone wrong. The Lord doesn't magnify a man. He doesn't magnify a woman. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. The Holy Spirit, very specifically by the Lord's decree, reminds everybody about Him. Perseverance and patience are essential to this warfare. Why? Well, where did we start? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. there are supernatural beings outside of time trying to interfere with our prayers, trying to steal what's coming our way. Try to block them. Perseverance and patience. Keep pounding. Keep praying. Pray without ceasing. The word perseverance in the Greek means adhere firmly to, be in close pursuit of, be intent on the object of your prayer. Right now, if I were to ask you, those of you that are praying for something, how persistent have you been? Have you pounded, thought the breakthrough was going to happen, then didn't happen, and got discouraged? That's the moment you need to push again. I've shared this example before, but it's a visual one to me about the atom. When they discovered the nucleus of the atom and they began to bombard it. They began to bombard it and they began to hit it and began to pulsate and began to pulsate. And then it grew and it grew and it grew. And then at this moment that they thought it was going to explode, it just stopped and went dormant and collapsed in on itself. And what they discovered was they had to keep pounding it and hitting it because that was the moment of explosion. So at the moment you think nothing's happening, at the moment you feel nothing, the moment you think it's over, he's not going to answer the prayer, you've got to dig in deeper. And you've got to hit it harder. And you have to be perseverant and persistent and stay in it until you get the answer. The other aspect of that is the heart from which you do it with 2 Thessalonians 3:13. Do not grow weary in doing good. Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And remember, you're doing this with the helmet of salvation on to guard your mind. Because if not, the warfare of the mind will wear you down. And if left unchecked, will destroy you. If the enemy gets into your head, you'll be on the verge of losing. And he's going to try to get into your head. Oh, you're not praying that again. He's never answered it before. You don't really deserve that. Hey, why don't you pray for this? This would be better. This would be quicker. Condemnation, doubt, despair, all the things that he'll try to do and they'll try to do. Don't. Guard your mind. Psalm 141 verse 2 says, let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice. If you've ever burned incense and you first get the coal going and you put the incense on it, this tremendous waft of smoke and fragrance comes up, but then it settles in and it slowly comes up. And you would think, I need to keep throwing incense on there to keep that same amount of smoke coming, and then what you wind up doing is smothering the coal. Let my prayer be as incense before you. See, we see in Revelation 8:4, the smoke of the incense was the prayer of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Well, what are the saints praying for? Oh, they're praying for new homes? No, they're praying for new cars, new chariots. Hey, I want a new chariot. I want gold wheels in my chariot. Are they praying for their nations? Are they praying for anything in this world? No. If we go to Revelation 6, see, the thing about Revelation is not linear. Since time just is, and he lives outside of time, when John the Revelator was seeing what he was seeing in Revelation, he was just seeing time. He presented it in a linear fashion for us to read, but I do not believe he was seeing it that way. So we hear about the smoke of the incense in Revelation 8, but then if we jump back to Revelation 6, verse 9, we see, when he, capital H, opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. So the fifth seal is about the martyrs for Messiah. And they're crying out. They're not crying out for anything but this. For judgment to come. They gave their lives for the word of God. They would not compromise their relationship like some of the people I've talked to you about at the beginning of every session of the porch. And they were shouting. They were shouting out to the sovereign Lord. And they trusted in his powers to address their grievances. How long? How long will it be before justice is done? Psalm 6:3, My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Psalm 74:10, O God, how long will the adversary reproach? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? Only the Father knows how many believers will be martyred before the end, and he has decided it's enough. It's in his sovereignty. It's his call. He will fulfill his purpose through his children, and those who are martyred will be vindicated at the appropriate time. All believers, male and female, will be redeemed. But then we see in Revelation 6:10 that the prayers of God's people inspire him to act. And it starts with noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. But now we have to jump back to Revelation 5. You see how this doesn't flow? I'm tying it together backward. I could have gone forward, but it would not have made the point I'm trying to make. See, it just is. Revelation 5, verse 4, and then I began, this is John speaking, I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. And then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders, and he had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold Spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. And he stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings, the four living creatures, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and a gold bowl filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. My prayers? Lord, come back. Come, Lord. Maranatha, come. Praying for the peace of Jerusalem, come. That'll do it. I'm praying for all these children that are being murdered in the womb. Come, that'll stop it. I'm praying for all these animals that are being slaughtered for rituals, for false religions, or for carelessness or callousness. Come, Lord, that'll do it. Praying for my brothers and sisters in all these foreign countries and my family members who I want them to be saved. Come, Lord, come. Bring your judgment. Bring your justice. I'm crying out for the crucified, risen Lord to activate his divine authority to initiate the events of this age. That's what they're doing. That's the warfare we should be waging. That's what we should be praying about. Because if you look at the prayers of his people from Revelation 5 to 6 to 8, it's about judgment. It's about putting Ha-Satan and the angels in their pit. It's about destroying those demons. That's why we do it. We do to set the captives free. That's why SRT goes out there and does what it does. It's not for vain glory or any of those things. It's definitely not for money. It's to set the captives free. It's to shut the gateways and close the windows and the portals and to give a brief moment of the fragrance of God and the glory of God to come into an area where people can be saved, healed, and delivered, plundering the kingdom of darkness, rescuing the lambs that have wandered into the lion's mouth. But ultimately what it's about is to prepare for that final battle, for the wrath of God, the anger of God to be revealed. And if your heart doesn't break for the unbelievers right now that will face the consequences of their behavior, that will face a living God, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. If you look at Romans 1, which is why the enemy is trying to stop the book of Romans from being preached at all, they're calling it a hate crime because it fixates in their mind on one particular sin, but that's really not why the enemy wants it to stop. It's an indictment against the days of Noah before and the one that is to come. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, having been understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There's no excuses. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. This was the indictment of the days of Noah, and this is the indictment coming upon us now, because they knew God, but they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. That's what caused the flood. They had chosen the fallen over him. They had chosen the power of the fallen angels, the watchers and the Nephilim, and then suddenly realized, wait a second, this wasn't the deal we wanted. We didn't want to be food for these beings. We didn't want to be caught in the middle of their battles and their skirmishes, and they began to cry out to God. And only 8 people survived. I see it now. I see it coming. I see the days of Noah flashing. I see the depravity and the things that are happening. I see it. Joe and I talk about in the episode of Reflections in the Dark that will be posted. We're there again. We're jumping down to verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That's what's bringing the great day of his wrath that is to come. It hasn't happened yet. We haven't run out of time. See, this is why they don't want Romans taught. It isn't just about one sexual sin. It's an indictment against the fallen. It's an indictment against their demonic offspring. It's a plan. Hey, this is what they're going to be. You're seeing all these things right here? Watch out for these. Now, they don't want people to know. Romans 2:5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Who's able to stand in those times? Who? Unbelievers won't stand. I don't care how strong, how wealthy, how famous they are. When that comes, they're going down. But those who are protected by the Lord will be able to stand, whether on earth or in his presence in heaven. I've told you, I've seen it, I've shared this with you. Of the moment his feet land on the Mount of Olives and the thing splits and the earthquake happens and this giant highway opens up and the battle's going on in Armageddon and the Valley of Jehoshaphat and all these things are happening at once and he lands and then they turn all their weapons and their supernatural wrath and anger on him and he begins to speak the word of God, the same words he spoke at the beginning of creation, the same sound that came off of Mount Sinai, and I saw it as he began to speak the word. The air began to shake and began to become like a gel or a water, and it hit the valley with a blast. This atomic blast of the word hit it, and every demonic entity was just consumed. Every enemy of God was consumed like a nuclear blast. They were just gone, the skin and the muscle and everything melted away, and they were just bones. But everybody that belonged to him, everybody that's name belonged to him, every messianic believer that was still here on this earth that was his, that same blast healed them. It melted their chains. It took away their wounds. Who will be able to stand? Those that know the Lord. But it all began with what? It began with prayer. The incense of prayers. Reaching out to God's heart. Asking him to act. He's prepared to act, folks. Are we? Will we pray without ceasing for their salvation and for his return? I have believers tell me, I don't want to see that happen to people. Well, then you don't want the Lord to come back. You don't want him to fix these things. You don't want him to put the earth back to the way it was supposed to be in the Garden of Eden. I do. I want it to be made right. Creation's groaning and they're crying out for the return of the King. And the only way that kind of prayer will inspire is it has to be done in the Spirit. See, Paul talks about mental prayer, but then he talks about praying in the Spirit. Even Jude 1:20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's what he talks about in Romans 8:26. I read it before. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. We don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He supplied the Holy Spirit to help us. We must apply that help. These are not fleshly prayers. These are not from a human source. That's why I don't like those prayer books. I used to have them when I first got saved. And they gave me a model and an idea, but that always bothered me because I began to think, well, I'm praying this person's prayer. I'm praying a ritual. I'm praying a plan. Shouldn't I be trusting in God? I will pray with the Spirit. I'll also pray with understanding. I will sing in the Spirit, and I'll also sing in understanding. I'll give you a different version. I'll pray in a heavenly language, and I'll pray in an earthly language. I'll sing in a heavenly language, and I'll sing with understanding in an earthly language at all times, in all ways, in all places, at any time. Prayer must become our way of life. We must be praying for our brothers and sisters around the world. We must be doing what he's called us to do for our brothers and sisters in Africa, in the Middle East, even here in America. Churches filled with people that are not born again, that have no clue what I'm talking about right now. I've shared some of these things as I've gone over and gone around and I've met people and I see it in their eyes and something clicks and they go, why have I never heard this before? Something is stirring up inside of me. You know why? Because Satan is brilliant. He gave you dead religion. He gave you a form of religion, but he denied you the power thereof. He taught you about ritual. He didn't teach about relationship. Paul ends it about being an ambassador in chains because he's in prison when he's writing this. But even as a prisoner, he wanted to be faithful to the Lord. He wanted to be faithful to the Great Commission. And remember where it started. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he ends with prayer and boldness for the external war, the war for humanity's soul. Our warfare is to stay on task. The gospel's been veiled to those who are perishing, but we're going to pull off the veil. We're going to shine the light. We're going to push back the darkness. Because the weapons of our warfare are not of this world. So we're going to destroy every obstacle that keeps people from knowing God so that they can get saved, healed, and delivered. Father, let the fire fall right now on every listener in every place, wherever they are. Touch every part of their life that doesn't line up with your word. Reveal to them in the spirit areas that need healing, that need restoration, that need correction. I'm praying for conviction right now, Lord, so that we can get fine-tuned. Turn the string a little tighter. Check it. Make sure it lines up with all the other strings. Make sure that we make a joyful harmony, a joyful presence. Make sure we're shaking the heavens with the sounds of our prayers. Help us, Holy Spirit, to stay on task. Inspire us, invigorate us, fire us up. Help us to get hot. Let us burn. Let us shine. Let us set the captives free. So that when you come, Lord, we're ready, they're ready, and we can say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. I pray this for my brothers and sisters. I pray this for me. I pray this for your remnant. And whatever part of this dead church you can revive, Lord, I know that even though they say it can't be revived, old wineskins can't be restored. I know the way that you can. And it could potentially destroy the wineskin, but if it will save it, if it will allow you to get some new wine in it, soak it in that hot oil. Soak it in that hot oil, no matter how old they are, no matter how long they've been doing it wrong. Begin to loosen up the religiosity and the rigidness. Begin to soak them, Lord, and then all of a sudden they become pliable, and they become usable, and fill them with the new wine. Fill them, Lord. We desire to see you. We desire to be in your presence. We desire for everything to be fixed and restored. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Folks, I hope you get this. I hope you're not just listening to see, oh, what's Richard going to say this week? Whose toes is he going to step on this week? I hope you're taking this, maybe listening to it more than once. Maybe you're writing it down. Maybe you're opening up your Bibles and your concordances. Oh, that's what that means. And getting the nuggets and the revelation, because it's coming. The things I've been talking about, it's coming. It's happening. The bowls of incense of the prayers of the saints are being filled. And they're being filled. And the blood of our brothers and sisters is soaking the earth. And those prayers are rising up. And they're crying out, how long, Lord? How long will you allow this? When I hear about babies being cut apart in the womb, or I hear about how we mistreat his creation, how we mistreat each other, I say, Lord, how long? Send me, Lord. How long? Will you say that too? Will you pray in the spirit, pray with understanding? Will you just pray? Will you fervently pray? Maybe you don't want to go out there. Pray for us to go out there. Pray for the money to come, the release to come, whatever. Just pray. Pray to set the captives free. Pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.